Oh,
almost.
damn. You guys
Yeah.
been doing this for that long?
It's
For a
almost been a
year?
year. Yeah.
Whoa, that's
Yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. I think
Oh, good.
30
Congrats,
for 29.
bro.
Yeah, I
Yeah, most
appreciate it.
people don't get past the first 2 months.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
True.
You know,
Yeah.
yeah, years. Awesome. Wow, that's
Yeah. I
awesome.
think there was some crazy stat. Like, I think less than 10% make it
Yeah.
past 10 episodes or something like that.
Yeah. You just give up. You know, it's when
Yeah.
it's hard to keep going. You see a zero
It
or a
is, yeah.
10, and it hurts
It
you.
is, it is.
Or the worst is when one does good and the next one flops. Brandon said that at my event.
So, our best month was June or July last year. And then this January, we were close to it. But since then, I've been chasing like that high again. Yeah,
Yeah.
because it did so well.
Yeah.
I've been like chasing it. And it'll always be something like we'll miss a week because one of us has to travel
Yeah.
or
Life.
like, yeah,
Yeah.
or like we'll do an episode. And I was like, I was so hyped for it and it just didn't come out the way I wanted it.
Yeah.
And it just flopped. So
You
just like
just gotta,
chasing.
yeah, it's just, you just gotta chase the passion of actually doing it, and
Exactly.
that'll
Yeah.
always
It's just the
make it
process.
worth it,
Numbers.
you know,
Yeah.
because even on my social media for a while, bro, I was hitting over 10K views, 10K over, and I'm saying over, like I was
Right,
like
right, right.
10 to
Yeah.
20, sometimes 30, and I'm like, man, I
You're
got
like,
this
I'm
shit
Drake.
down, you know,
Yeah.
like there's nothing I can't post that hits over 10K, and then bro, for 2 months, I was like 6K, 3K, I'm like, what the fuck? Who am I? Like, look at myself indifferently. Like, am I even Zach? You know,
Right,
like,
yeah. Am I
this isn't
falling off?
me. You know,
Yeah.
yeah, I'm not the guy no more. And then it just, and now it's now, but now I stopped looking at it. Right now, I just don't even care
It's just the
anymore.
process.
I'm just gonna keep posting because if you look at my Instagram, I post every single day.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so I've been testing something for the past 2 months of posting 3 times a week. But besides that, if you check out my posts, that's the amount of days that I've been open. Because I post every single day that I'm open.
So you have that whole timeline down.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
it's like 1,100 days
Yeah, it's
or something like
insane.
that. It's 3 years.
3 years,
Three
yeah.
years.
Yeah. It's been 3 years. You know, don't get me wrong. When I first started, I wasn't open every day.
Right.
You know,
Yeah.
I'd be open 3 days, 2 days.
But that's how many days you've been open.
Yeah. That's how many days I've been open, you know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool to think about it. You
Yeah,
know,
that's true. And that
that's.
takes dedication because as insignificant as it feels, like that 5 minutes of posting something and finding the right angles
Yeah.
and captions and hashtags and everything, like it's annoying as hell.
Yeah, well, I got it down now to where I have my girl. She likes to do it. So I noticed that she was editing all these videos for herself.
Yeah.
You know, she was trying to be a YouTuber at one point, TikToker. You know, she just likes to do it. You know, that's what she enjoys. And I was like, hey, babe, how much you charge to come do my videos? And so now she does them, and so she'll just load me up with 5 or 6 videos for the week,
That's
six to
dope.
seven videos. But my thing is remembering to post them.
Yeah.
Because I have, like, you know how they always say, like, the algorithm has the
The yeah,
time.
times
So
and
mine's
everything.
around, like, I think, right? We never know. We were
And that's the
saying
thing.
that.
It's like 1 month, it's one thing. Then the next month, you're like, what
It
the fuck? You
changes.
change it up. And they're
Yeah.
like, okay, now
Yeah.
it's this, apparently.
Yeah. Like, I've done. So I try to do around 10, 30, 11. That's what works best for me. For
Okay.
me is what I think, right?
Yeah.
Even
Yeah.
my personal page, I try to do the same thing. But I'll just be going throughout my day. Da, 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 and I need to be better at just setting an alarm. Right. Or sometimes I'll set an alarm and I'm in the middle of something. I'm like,
Yeah.
fuck. And then I don't post till 1, and then it flops. And I'm like,
Exactly.
that's why.
And you're like,
It's 'cause I
damn it. I
posted
want
at 1, but
And
it
then you
really
want to,
didn't, it didn't matter, bro.
and then
So
you
maybe
want to take it down. You're like,
I
I want
want,
to, it's a good video. I want to take it down. It's going to do better. And then you
so
post it again. It does the same thing.
yeah, well, what I've noticed is sometimes, I mean, like we talked about, and everybody says, like, we don't know what's going to happen with the algorithm.
Never,
It's just
yeah.
going to do its thing. The algorithm, if we knew the algorithm, we'd be
Yeah,
freaking Mark
exactly.
Zuckerberg, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, there's been times where I posted a video a second time and it did way better than the first time. I'm
Yeah.
like, damn, I was over there tripping, like, because I didn't have, maybe I didn't have a video, a
Attention.
new video to post.
Yeah, right.
So I'm like, ah, fuck it. Like, let me
Post it
just
again.
pop this on there.
Yeah.
And then it fucking blew up, you know? I'm like,
Yeah.
shit. So you never know. You we already
Exactly.
going?
I mean, let's go ahead and do intro
Oh,
just for the
cool.
people
Sweet. This is
watching.
it.
Yeah.
Run it.
What's good, y'all? Your boy Brandon back again. Another episode of the Honor Up Podcast, man. This week in the studio, we have the man himself, Vanilla Rice, owner of Hibachi House. Appreciate you coming on the podcast, brother.
Appreciate you guys. This is awesome. I like what you guys are
Absolutely.
doing.
Absolutely. So we just when was it, last week? We were at your
Yeah.
networking event.
Yeah.
So we got to chop it up, kind of see what that was about. And we had a chance to chop it up. And I think there's a lot of things that people can learn from you. You're a businessman, you're an entrepreneur, you're a father recently.
Yeah.
So hopefully we get to break that down for everybody during this
Yeah.
episode.
For sure. Yeah, definitely I appreciate you guys for having me on here. Definitely said everything that I am and strive to be every day. Great father, great entrepreneur, great businessman.
Absolutely. So it obviously had to start somewhere, right? So out of high school, I guess you decided to work in Hibachi, or was that just like, did it just, was it happenstance that that happened?
So I actually started working as a dishwasher in high school.
Okay.
Yeah, I started working at 15 years old as a dishwasher in the restaurant. It was to pay for summer school. So like if you fail classes, you have to physically pay money to take them again. Something like that. And at the time, my mom's always been a teacher. And so she's not like an academic teacher. She's a music teacher.
Okay.
But you know, teacher's teacher, right? And she said, there's no way her son's not going to graduate.
Right.
I'm not going to be that teacher that son doesn't graduate. That's embarrassing. Right. And so she really kicked me in the ass and was like, dude, you got to get a job. Like I can't afford this. You know, this is crazy. And so she helped me get a dishwashing job at an Asian restaurant, at a hibachi restaurant. And so we were just up in there. I was like the only kid in my high school that had a job. I mean, there was probably other ones, but not really.
Very few, right?
Yeah, very few. And I would go to work every day after school. Not every day, like 2 or 3 days a week. And yeah, that's pretty much how it all started.
Right. And then we were talking and you said like you basically worked every position in the kitchen, right? You started as a dishwasher and then you slowly started leveling up until you got to chef. So what was that process like? I guess it's interesting because, you know, you see this kid, he's 15, you see him washing dishes. And then I guess for the people that did stay there for long term, they would slowly see you progress and level up.
Yeah. So actually, yeah, it was definitely not easy being the 15-year-old kid working in the back of a kitchen. You know, I was like the only white kid.
Right.
It was all Latinos, you know, so they would talk shit and, you know, they would get pissed off and everything. Cause I'm this white kid that doesn't really know what he's doing and I'm moving slow and they're in there just busting their ass. Right. And, but I think the cool thing about me and that I learned about myself really young is that I pick up on very fast. Like I pick up social cues, right? That I'm like, all right, these guys are, I could tell they're getting pissed off. You know, I can tell they're starting to not like me. Right. And, you know, I'm learning different Spanish words like pendejo and stupido and pinche maricón. Yeah. And all that. And I'm like, what are these guys saying? So I'm going home Googling it and I'm like, oh hell no. I was like, no way. So then I just always didn't, I didn't like being that guy, right? That everybody goes in and goes, oh, fuck, Zach's working again or this stupid young kid. You know what I mean? I didn't like that. So, you know, really taught me to step up and you know, follow what everybody else is doing. Like, no, I'm not going to be that guy. We'll let the other guy be that guy, but not me, you know? And, but I actually wasn't. So at the time, because I was 15, I wasn't allowed to work technically. So I wasn't allowed to go like to the sushi bar. Like I had to stay in the back. So the sushi bars where all the customers can see you and stuff. And, but you know, it just all came from that one day. So my mom would take my paychecks to pay for my summer school, but they would give us tips. We could, for some reason, like, I don't know if all restaurants are like this, but we would get tips as dishwashers, very little, you know, a couple dollars a night, but, she didn't let me get them for, 2 weeks. And so when I finally got them, they came in these little origami packets, like just like folded up white packets. And so she handed like 8 of them to me and I was like, oh shit, snaps. So I start opening them. I'm like, money's just flying out of them. Like, this is amazing. I'm 15 years old. I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. It was like $60. I was like, oh my God, I'm going back to work tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
And, I think that's what motivated me to want to learn different positions because I really, you know, and I started asking people, right? Like, you know, how much tips you make? Oh, you know, dishwashers make 3%. Oh, what do you make? Oh, we make 15. We make 50. We make 100. I'm like, interesting. Yeah. So I just realized that if I, you know, added more value in the restaurant, learned more things, maybe I could make some more money.
Right. You start seeing like a video game, right?
Yeah.
Like you start leveling up, you start collecting more resources and stuff. And because like, I think that's like the addicting part of being an entrepreneur, being in business. Definitely like being in podcasting, right? You see your numbers going up and you're like, I want more. It's not necessarily like chasing it just for the fuck of it, but it's like you said, I want to add more value so I can get more value out of it as well.
Yeah, I truthfully think that little white tip packet that I got was it. It was the spark for me to just get more and more and more. And, you know, life isn't always about getting more, but to me at the time, it was just about progressing, right? Like I was such a, you know, shithead kid and I finally saw something maybe different that like life could offer. And I was like, let's just give this my all and, you know, try to see where it can go. I didn't obviously never thought of an end goal.
Right.
I was just showing up to work every day. And the harder I worked, the more money I made, you know?
What class did you fail?
So all of them, bro. I had to
basically 1,500 in debt for summer school.
Yeah. My mom said I took like almost 8 years of high school in 4 years.
What the fuck?
Damn. Yeah. So I went to summer school every single year.
Oh shit.
I never not went to summer school. Yeah, like freshman year. So I actually went, I did, Yeah, so I did summer school freshman, sophomore, junior, obviously not senior year after, but yeah, in between all those years, I did summer school. Imagine. Yeah, right? actually, what's funny is I got to have four classes my senior year because of all the summer school that I was doing. Yeah. So I wasn't like the kid that was at six. You know how they do four classes? Yeah. Sometimes my first semester had five, second I had four. So I was like, everybody was surprised. Like, damn, Zach, you got five. How did you get four classes, dog?
I don't know. I just did 8 years in high school.
I did 8 years up in here, homie. So,
high school did you go to?
I went to Green Valley High School.
Okay, Green Valley.
Yeah, but I was zoned for Del Sol. So I live right down the street from here.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was zoned for Del Sol, but mom just did. She's like, she wanted me to go to better school. Right. You know? Yeah. So, and then also, if Del Sol was never built, I would have went to Chaparral.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
what about you guys?
I went to Clark.
Okay.
And then I graduated from Cimarron.
Gotcha.
So we have
Vegas High.
Vegas. Actually. Okay. Yeah. The restaurant I used to work at, the location that I worked at was in Henderson on Seven Hills and Anthem. Okay. But the other location is right by Clark on Sahara.
Yeah, I think I know Osaka. What you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right next to that stripper store.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Dang,
that's crazy.
I think they charge like $100 per class during summertime. So
where at
Because I remember, I think it had
like CCSD, right?
Yeah, CCSD.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't know. I just knew that, like, shit. I just knew that it was a lot, dog.
Yeah, it's got the debt collector's college, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I didn't get, my mom didn't give me the paycheck until I was probably, I mean, she started giving it to me after a while because, you know, couple paychecks, you know, 2-3 months was enough to pay for, you know what I mean? But just my dumb asses kept failing them, bro. I just didn't. So the difference.
What was it, though? Like, what, why?
So this is what I think, because I would go home, right, and I would go hang out with my friends in the neighborhood, right, and they all went to Del Sol, and I'd hang out with them. We'd be smoking weed, chilling, and I'm like, you guys got homework? I wouldn't got homework. Oh, I got a lot of homework. Well, you guys do your homework? We don't get homework. Oh, well, fuck it. I'm not going to do my homework. So we got homework at Green Valley.
Yeah.
And they didn't, apparently.
So you was just living a Del Sol lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so next thing you know, I'm not turning in homework. And I'm like, oh, man, nobody does homework. Yeah. Right? And so that's truly what it was. Then when the test came, you know, it's just, truthfully, that sounds messed up. We just smoked a lot of weed, to be honest. Yeah. You know, it is what it is. That was my childhood. We just smoked a lot of weed, man. Yeah. I didn't care about anything else. We're just hanging out with the friends and smoking weed, right?
Yeah.
Homework was a myth.
Yeah, homework. It was a legend. I
truthfully didn't understand. I was like, what do you mean you guys don't get? And they were they never failed
that's
classes.
That's kind of crazy.
They never failed classes. Yeah. I'm like, how?
You should have just told your mom, hey, let's save some money. Transfer me over.
Yeah,
I'm
going to be like, you want me to go to this good school?
I'll be passing.
But I'm hanging out with these guys, right? She just wanted. So actually, she also wanted me to be. So I was in music as well. I was actually a band geek. That's what not a lot of people know about me. Yeah,
what instrument did you play?
I played the drums.
Okay.
So I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't your band geek. So the difference between the band geek and the kid in band is two different things. I was the kid in band, right? Okay, the band geeks, the band kid that hangs out with their friends are the band kids. They do all the band stuff.
Band camp.
Yeah, I was the kid in band. So I just happened to be good at music because my family does music, right? And then once band was over, I'm kicking with the homies. Like, that was me, right? Yeah. So she also wanted me. They had really good programs at Green Valley as well. So she wanted me to go there for that, too.
For sure. That's cool. Yeah. What would you change, I guess, like, from your perspective, being in high school, what would you change to make, like, a kid that had, like, the same circumstances as you did maybe not have to take summer school or not have to, like, you know, deal with a bunch of bullshit in school? That's a tricky one, especially, like, growing up here. Like, we see it all the time. Like, our school system's kind of trash.
Yeah, our school system sucks. Yeah. But, I mean, so did I. Right, like, so I can't really. I mean, I don't know what I would change, just for the fact that, like, my situation was so different, right? Like, I went to the nicer school, but I hung out in, you know, the east side, right? And so all my friends that, like I said, it was just weird, right? They didn't maybe making all the schools be the same, because it was kind of weird how they didn't have homework.
That's
and they never failed classes, and I had homework, and I failed all of them. So maybe making them more similar, right? Like, there shouldn't be a reason that a school in Upper Henderson is a public school, right?
Should be
any different than a school than you know, Las Vegas High School or Chaparral or Basic, right? Like, it should all be the same, same standards, I think. You know, maybe if it's a private school and it's paid, it's a different story. So maybe that's something that I would change for sure.
You know what's interesting? I know you just kind of touched on it right now, but you said yeah, the school system's shit, but at the same time, you're also like a piece of shit, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, at what point?
I don't know if he said, oh, he's a piece of shit. You ad-libbed that. Sense. You ad-libbed that.
Well, not bad, bro. I could have been worse. But I get what you're saying.
But like, you know how like, to a certain extent, wouldn't you agree that like most people would be like, would say like, oh, the school system sucks, but at the same time, it's like, you knew at the time or looking back, you were like, yeah, I mean, I guess I could have done better.
Yeah, so I could have like, definitely paid attention because I didn't fail every class. I mean, like, I failed majority, but there were some that I passed, like,
band.
Nah, I mean,
like, Fiji plays a percussion.
Yeah, I just walk in there, I play some shit, and I'm like, ah, give me
the symbols, give me my A. That's it.
No, I mean, I didn't fail every class.
Did you do any music performances?
Yeah, all that, everything. Oh. Yeah, that's like I said, that's something not a lot of people know about me.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I did all that because after high school, my band teacher was like, she was just an asshole, and kind of like. Gave me like a bad taste in my mouth. I actually got kicked out. Nice. I got kicked out my end of my junior year. I couldn't do band in senior year.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it was just crazy. She was
even banned.
Yeah, it was just a lady. I had a few words with her and she didn't let me come back.
Yeah.
Dang.
The other thing I was going to say is like seeing as you're doing successful like in your own business, it wasn't that you didn't know how to work hard. It was just the things they were giving you weren't really like what you cared about, right? So
yeah,
if you're not gonna care about it, you're like, I'm not gonna try, it's not bringing anything to me. So maybe including things that, you know, people that are not gonna like chase a certain route in life can benefit from, right? Entrepreneur classes or teaching, I don't know, something similar so that people
It's so funny too, because when it was finally time to go to college, you know, and all that, my mom gives me the list and she's like, hey, you know, here's the list of things you can do, pick one. I looked over that list for like a week and I'm like, I don't, none of this sounds cool to me. Yeah. I'm like, I don't like any of this, right? Like agriculture. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that one. Or biology. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. So I chose business.
Yeah.
And my mom, she helped me get the grants and all that kind of stuff. But I got the books. I got everything. It was day one. I opened it up. I go, close it. Yeah, I'm good. When do I clock in at work? And never went. I actually ended up going back, and when I actually started cooking and getting into the culinary, I wanted to do culinary school.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and I did basic cooking, which was cool, a cool class, but I never went all the way. I just did one class.
Right. Do you think you'd ever go back to school for anything?
Nah.
Hell
nah. Nah.
In real life, like, once you start playing in real life, it's like, why?
Well, I feel like
nothing's also a better teacher than actually doing it yourself.
Yeah, and a lot of my friends, like when I was, you know, I started my business at 23, 24, in between there. And like, that's when all my friends were getting out of college, you know what I mean? Or trying to find a career. And I've been cooking for 12 years, you know, and I'm only 27.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it's like crazy to think, right? When I was working at the restaurant, guys have been cooking there for as much as I've been alive.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I do, not saying that school's wrong, but I wouldn't go.
Right. It's just everybody has their own route in life and not the same path fits everybody. And that's cool, you know, like for the people that are going to look at someone differently, it's like, okay, but like, you know, you can succeed in many different ways. It's not just one way to succeed in life.
But, yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
Yeah. What sure. I was going to ask is like after dishwasher, what are the positions that you held like going up, working towards like actually
cooking? So actual positions that I was mainly in the kitchen. So I went from, first I went from dishwasher to basically prepping.
Mm-hmm.
So basically cutting the vegetables, peeling shrimp, making rice, cutting them little tiny ass vegetables for fried rice. Like you see those, like little, I thought they came in a bag and you just poured it out. No, you have to fucking cut them yourself. Shit, right.
Yeah.
And then actually the dishwasher that I worked with, his name was Jose. He was pissed. He was pissed that I
cut a big ass carrot chunk.
Yeah, no, can't use it, Zach. No, well, so that was Joe. That was a different dude. But no, Jose was the dishwasher I worked with at the time, and he was pissed that I moved up. But I mean, it's like, okay. Like, bro, this dude was that fucking alcoholic.
Gotta move up, bro.
He was an alcoholic junk fool. Like, yeah. Come on, dog. Like, he fell asleep, bro. One night we were washing dishes, and he goes, "I'm gonna go out for a smoke break." Obviously, he didn't say it like that. He said it like very broken English, you know. And I'm like, "All right, for sure." Never came back in, bro. Never came back in.
So he was raising a family of six with the same salary you was paying summer school with.
Pretty much, bro, right? And that also, like, gave me a good realization as well, right? Like, yeah. I mean, maybe my mom wanted me to get a dishwashing job. Maybe that's the only job she can get me, so whatever. But maybe she wanted me to, like, realize, like, hey, homie, if you don't get your shit together, you know what I mean? Like, or, You know, that'll be you when you're 50.
Right.
You know, and obviously everybody's lives are different. You know, I worked with so many different types of people, you know, and, but anyway, so he went outside. Dude never came back in. It's like, where the fuck did he go? We go out there, but he's knocked out on the rocks like this, asleep. He fucking went out. He was drunk as shit, bro. I never realized, because I never realized he was just getting fucked up the whole time. Yeah. Just drinking beers and shit. Anyway, but yeah, so he's pissed off at me. But then I went to Prep Chef. Back to what we were saying. Sorry. Went to Prep Chef after that. So at the hibachi restaurant, like people, so there's different sections of the restaurant. So there's the bar, the sushi bar, the hibachi grills where they sit in front of you. But there's also like a dining room area where you can, you know, order different types of food, but you can also order from the grill. So then I would start, basically how I actually started to learn how to cook it was I would cook for those people. So they're not sitting in front of you. Mm-hmm. So the guy could sit there and like, you know, hey, do this, hey, do that, hey, do that. But as far as like in the kitchen, you know, if you appreciate what you do and you take pride in what you do and like you love the kitchen and you like that stuff, like you'll pick up any position, you know, like, hey, we're busy, we're slammed. It's a Friday night. The hibachi grills are slow. What you need me? You need me to run some food? I'll run food. I'm filling waters. I'm taking orders. Like, I'm not taking them on the proper thing that they're taking. I'm writing them down just to help out. So I've done everything, every single thing. You know, I'm frying tempura shrimps. I didn't actually do sushi while they were open, but they would, you know, if we wanted food, then the sushi chef would be like, go make yourself some. Like, right. All right, cool. Yeah, so yeah. Like, to answer your questions, everything, bro. Everything. But actual titles was like, you know, dishwasher, prep chef, chef, and then head chef.
And how, when do you get to the point where you actually learn how to like flip the knives and shit?
So when you're back in the kitchen, just like prepping and everything and just waiting to get bullshit. You know, yeah. You're just back there just like, you know, doing your thing and different chefs. So this is funny. And this will probably, people will probably think this is funny too, but like hibachi chefs have like a ego problem, bro. Because we all think like we're, cause the chef and cook is a two different terms. Right. Mm-hmm. But we're all called hibachi chefs, teppanyaki chefs. Right. So, and then we all do our tricks. We all think we're the best, right? And so, dude, I just would see so many fights. He stole my tricks, and that guy stole my table, and I'm like, just divas, right? And so, because of that, it was a lot of turnover. So we'd, you know, a chef would work for 2 weeks, and he'd pull a knife on another chef. He's gone. Or a chef would work for 2 weeks. They fight over stealing tips, or stealing tables, or stealing customers. So, I worked with probably over 100 different hibachi chefs, bro. Dang. So I would learn a little bit from each one, and they would see me as this young kid because I was the hibachi helper, right? Yeah. I was just the prep chef, and they're not used to having that at most restaurants. I don't even know if that's a thing. I just think
invented it.
Yeah, I think the boss was like, "Oh, you want to learn how to cook?" Yeah, he's like,
basically, well, the sixth man of the year for hibachi.
Yeah, right. He was like, "Hey, you want to learn how to cook? Like, here, go help these guys. You know, help them out." I'm like, okay, cool. And so, you know, they see a young kid doing stuff and they, I don't know what it is, if it was about me, if they liked me as a person, or they just see this young kid hustling. But, you know, they would show me things. They'd be like, hey, Zach, let's, you know, let me come show you the egg trick, or let me show you how to flip the forks and the spatulas. And so little by little you learn.
What was the hardest trick?
Putting the egg in the hat, bro.
Oh, yeah?
That's the hardest one to this day, bro. I truthfully just throw it up and just hope for the best. Just throw it up like Kobe and hopes it goes in. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. So I do a lot of private parties now as well. So I go to people's houses and still sometimes I fucking bomb it, bro. It's so embarrassing. Yeah. But I think that's definitely one of the hardest tricks. And then flipping the fire sticks.
Okay.
That one was fucking scary to learn.
Yeah. So you'd be doing everything and shit?
Yeah, I can do it all.
Okay. Let's say you take your girl hibachi. How many bodies is it if the hibachi chef throws it and she catches the food?
It's bad, bro. How many? Yeah, you don't want to know. Yeah. You don't want to know, bro. We were going to do a funny, me and my boy were going to do like a funny skit.
That'd
of
be
like,
a funny skit.
Yeah, we're going to do
it.
We're going to do one where like the guy takes his girl to the hibachi grill and like the chef already knows her order. Yeah. Already knows how she wants her steak.
Are you here again?
Yeah. Like the, because
not the usual. Because
we've had things like that, bro, where guys bring multiple dates. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I think any average person would just, this is what I think, and this is what I do, is I just pretend like I don't even know the guy.
Right.
Or I say, hey, good to see you again, to make him look better. But I don't be like, hey, who are you? I didn't see you. Like, bro, that's
new girl buddy.
Bro, you feel me? Like, I've seen some chefs that just don't have the common sense to say something like that. Like, or to just shut the fuck up and just keep it in. You know what I mean? Like, I had this lawyer that I used to cook for, and he would bring So we'd have lunch specials. So he'd bring his mistress for lunch, and then he'd bring his wife and kids for dinner. And bro, it was bad. And you know, he'd give me $100 tip every time, you know, and I'd be like, I got you, dog. Like, shit, give me a two next time.
Homie. Yeah.
You know, he'd like dip.
Like, I got this picture, my boy.
Yeah.
You got to double it.
Yeah, he'd dip. Man. Yeah, he would dip out like the back door. He'd be like, can we go out this door? I'm like, yeah, you good. They pull up in the Maserati and shit, you know. Like, so I just seen some wild stuff up in there, bro.
Yeah.
Like busting down fucking lines of cocaine on the fucking soy sauce plates, bro, and shit. It's just like these dudes. Cause, you know, we were up in, you know, Seven Hills Anthem, you know, yeah. It's a nicer area. People got a lot of money. They party, they have fun, yeah. And just wild. It's wild.
And how long did you work as a head chef there?
So I'd say about 4 years. So 19 is when I became head chef.
Okay.
So and then till 23.
23. Okay. So at 23, you're like, I think I want my own stuff, right? I want my own. Is that when you, like, kind of what happened?
Yeah, so what happened was I started getting very popular there, right? Like, so when I turned 19, even before I was 19, you know, I was super young, so I was cooking for all the Coronado kids. That's Coronado High School area, mm-hmm. So I cook for them. And then I would cook for, like, Liberty, so I would cook for, like, proms. And you know, I basically watched these kids grow up, right? And I still see them from time to time out and about. But, you know, I cook for, like, their freshman homecomings, and then their senior, or their sophomore, and then, you know, proms and Sadie Hawkins dances. And so then I just started getting super popular in that area. Yeah. And then, you know, they would bring their parents, and their parents would have a good time. They'd bring their friends. And it started to get to the point where I was getting so many requests a night. Right. And, you know, am I sitting here saying I'm the best? No, am I sitting here saying I have the fucking craziest tricks ever? No, I just think they liked me. They knew they were comfortable with me.
You know how to market yourself.
Yeah. You know, I knew how to talk. Like, I would do this with them. Right. Obviously the first time I do my tricks, make them laugh. Second time I do like 50-50, I talk about with them. And, you know, by the third or fourth, fifth time, you know, we're just talking about life and cracking jokes and just having a good time. Yeah. Right. So it got to a point where, you know, I was getting like, dude, we had like 15 or 16 reservations on the board, bro. And like 12 of them were requesting me. So they would call in and be like, hey, we want a reservation for 5 at 5 o'clock. We want Zach to cook. And it was just like, you know, to go from like 2 a night to 3 to 4 to like, bro, this one night was just crazy. I had like 12 of them. I'm like, fuck.
Damn.
And I'm sitting there going, man, I'm making this guy a lot of money. I'm like, I need to start my own shit. You know, I've dabbled in here and there and you know, I've talked about it. And, you know, people tell me all the time, Zach, you'd kill it, Zach, this and that. And I actually did. So I did start before the pandemic. I started cooking in my friend's backyard for 2 days a week. And, it just got a lot, bro. Doing my 2 days off. So I was doing 5 days there and then 2 days cooking over there. So prepping and cooking. And it just got rough. So we shut that down. Also because of other reasons with, you know, friends and just not getting along in the business and stuff. And then when the pandemic happened, right, you know, I was already like, I don't know if I wanted, I wasn't even thinking about business really, whatever. But my buddy was like, hey, dude, why don't you just start your plates again? So I was like, nah, hell no, bro. I don't want to do that again. It was a lot. And I went home and I really thought about it. And then luckily I had decent enough credit. And so I just was like, I'm looking at this credit card with $5,000 limit that I've never used. I'm like, fuck it. And I just went online, bro. I swiped for tables, grills, warmers, spatulas, everything. And the next day I went to Costco and all that. And I just made the Instagram. And
that was it.
That was it. That was it.
A wrap ever since.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So we were talking and you told us that you started like in your mom's garage, right? Started in your mom's garage. So what was that like? I guess she saw your whole progression from like being this kid who's like fucking up in school, having to take summer school, being a dishwasher, working your way up to head chef. And then to see you be like, okay, mom, I want to start my own business. Like that must feel pretty good for her, right?
Yeah. At first though, she cried.
Yeah.
I told her I was going to quit Osaka. That was the restaurant I worked at. She was like, you know, because she comes from an era where, you know, you get a stable job, you build a career, and stay, you know what I mean?
20 years.
30 years, right? And so she started crying, bro. Yeah. And I'm like, so I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, me and my mom cry. Like, this is not okay, right? Like, damn, mom, I'm sorry. But I told her, I'm like, I don't want to do it anymore. Like, I maxed out, right? Like, I've gone to the top, you know? There's the only other option. So they always, I've noticed that people that stayed at that restaurant for 10 years never leave. And I was already on year 8. And I'm like, all right, man, I gotta figure something out, right? And at the time, too, I was, to go back a little bit, when I realized, like, I wanted to start my business was, you know, I was cooking for a lot of, you know, wealthy people. And so, you know, I'd have conversations with them and ask them, what do they do? And I just kept hearing real estate and business and real estate and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And they've all tried to, you know, poach me, right? I had one guy try to do timeshare salesman. One guy actually worked for him for a little while doing cold calling for real estate wholesaling. So, you know, started opening my horizons into business and maybe doing different things out in the world, working for myself. But I saw a freaking Gary V video. But my bad. Let me go back. But nothing was really like working, or nothing I really felt passionate about. I was just like, damn, like, you know, I'm making okay money, but it's hard to get up and go there, yeah. You know, this and that. And I saw a Gary V video where he's like, you just got to double down on what you know. And I was like, oh, fuck, Gary V, I don't want to cook anymore, man. I was like, you serious? And then it just kept resonating in my head. Like, you just got to double down on what you know, double down on what you know. And then that's why I was like, hey, you know, all this happened, right? The pandemic, my buddy telling me to start your plates again. And that's when everything really took off. That's when I started seeing a real success. But yeah, my mom, I mean, I had to beg her to let me use her. It was actually her backyard. We started in the side yard of her backyard. And, she would be teaching lessons on Zoom, like music lessons on Zoom while I'm making rice in the kitchen, I'm making pots of rice and shit. But she's very proud of me now. You know, she's very proud of me. She's my number one fan, supports me. She's super happy. And, you know, it just turned it around, ma, you know?
Hell yeah. And I mean, obviously it couldn't have been easy. It was your first business. Not only that, you were 24. So you'd been cooking for a long time, but cooking and letting someone else do the business side is a whole different thing from like running the whole show yourself. So you'd have to like fill orders, do marketing, like you said, do prep and cook, and then just keep up with, you know, making sure everything's getting paid on time and all this stuff. So what was that adjustment like for you?
It was definitely a lot. But I had a little bit of taste of it from when I was selling plates before I started full time. And then also too, what helped and you know, do I say I'm lucky? Do I say it was the right timing? But you know, it was the pandemic, right? I had nothing but time.
Right.
Yeah. So I didn't have to go to a job. Like we couldn't, right? Like all we could do was wait in line at Costco, you know? So I was out there, so I would wake up at 6 a.m. I would go to Costco and you guys remember like Costco and all the Smith's line, and the lines. Yeah, I was in those lines. I was in those lines at Costco Business Center, regular Costco, Smith's, Restaurant Depot. And so I kind of just had the mindset of like, bro, I'm just going to just go hard. And so I would go from 6 to 12 at night every day.
Damn.
Nonstop fulfilling orders, marketing. And then also too, before I maybe like, I'd say like maybe 20 years old, excuse me. Right when I became head chef, I made an Instagram. So I knew that, like, you know, I knew what social media was. I had my own Instagram. Like, I made my chef page, right? I had my personal Instagram that was, you know, I thought was popping back then, right? You know, I post my little swag and all that, and me at parties and stuff, you know? And then I started my chef page, which is my real Vanilla Rice page now. And so I knew how to market and post and what people wanted to see. I mean, I used to party and I used to see all this stuff on social media. So I knew what people wanted to see. Right. I knew what was cool. I knew that, you know, posting your accomplishments and what you got going on is what people like to see. So that came, I'd say that came a little natural, when I started the business. But you know, I really did struggle with the actual business part, like paying sales taxes and calculating the money. Like I ran it like a fucking drug dealer, bro.
Yeah.
I'd start with $1,000 in the beginning of the week. I'd have $6,000 at the end of the week. I'd pay all my homies that were working for me. I'd give my $1,000 nut back, and then I would have like $2,000 left. And I was like, sweet, I think I got a business. Yeah. You know, I didn't know about percentages and margins you know, waste and all that. I had no fucking clue what any of that was,
right.
You know? So that was a big adjustment for me.
And I'm guessing, like, along with the pandemic, right, people can't go to restaurants, so they're going to be looking for other places to eat. So I guess that also was kind of like a blessing in disguise.
And supporting local as well.
Yeah, supporting local. Yeah,
you know, sure. I we had the police pull up to my mom's backyard. Like, going on back here? And I'm like, I'm just selling food to people. They're all waiting in their cars. You know, my uncle was so scared. He was like, my uncle's 60-something. He was so scared. He's like, oh, no, we're going to go to jail. This is that. And this is, oh, my God. And you know, but they pulled up, and they were like, all right, just, you know.
Did it buy it?
Make sure. No, they didn't. They didn't at the time. No. But they were like, all right, just make sure everything's good. You know, just see a bunch of cars out here. You know, we can't have more than 20 people or whatever at one.
Yeah.
Fucking weird, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking pandemic was a weird time.
It was. Yeah. It almost feels like it didn't even happen, too.
Yeah. Bro, I was just talking about it with a customer yesterday at the restaurant. His kids had to graduate through the pandemic. You know, they stopped going to school and everything. I'm like, that's fucking weird. Imagine when they go and tell their kids how their childhood was. But anyway, that's beyond the point.
It just went away. Like, where is it now? Where's the mask now? Where's all this stuff now?
I was
like,
we can't talk about it. Yeah. Nah.
This podcast gets taken down.
No. I love it.
That's funny. But what are some interesting stories, I guess, from running your business, I guess, from starting up till now? Like, what are the most memorable things that you remember that stand out to you?
Like, good or bad?
Both.
Dude, I remember this fucking, I got shut down by the health department 3 fucking times, bro. Like, completely shut down. Damn. To where I had to pay $1,600 to open back up. And so it was never anything with the food product. Like, it wasn't like they walked in and there was like some crusty salmon up on the fridge you know, some mold on my garlic butter. Like, it was never anything like that. It was that truck that I had. Did you guys ever see my truck?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that fucking truck I had. And thank the Lord, the guy that actually came into my life at the time, I ended up going back to work at Osaka for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I went there just working part-time. I wasn't head chef anymore. He's like, I can bring you back a couple days. You won't be head chef. I said, fine, whatever. I don't care. And so Buddy actually, I was in the storage room and Buddy actually called me and was like, hey, I won't say his name, but you know, I'm about to open this hibachi truck and I do not want to cook. Do you want to collab on it? I'm like, yeah, how do you know me? He's like, oh, I knew you from your other business, the first one that I started. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. How much do I owe you? He's like, nah, man, I got the trucks already ready. Let's rock and roll. And so, you know, the point of that story is that, you know, I'm so blessed that this guy came into my life, right? Like I am. But Buddy just, man, dropped the ball on so many things when it came to that damn truck. Like, so first time they didn't have the water, wasn't running. Hmm. So no running water, bro. That's automatic. Shut it out. So I wanted to get licensed by the health department, but he was like, he still has a few food trucks out here. He's like, nah, man, don't get licensed. Just open up. When they show up, they'll do your inspection. It's going to take 3 to 4 months for them to even come out if you wait. I'm like, fuck, all right, let's fuck it. Let's do it. And so they show up. Yeah. So they show up and I go, oh. And so what I did was, so I was in a commercial kitchen at the time. So I had the health inspection but it was for the commercial kitchen. So I popped that in the window. I was like, look, so when the customers come by, they see an A. They can't read the little, read anything up there. Yeah. Who cares? You know, they see an A. And so I go, oh, you know, I'm just playing dumb. Like, they said I could use this one. No, that's not the right one. But, you know, since we're here, we can inspect you. Okay, cool. Sounds good. First thing the health department does anytime they go to a restaurant is they go to wash their hands because they're going to go temp the water and make sure you have running water. Bro, they walk in. I'm like, bro, shitting bricks, dog. Like, oh, no. And they're walking to the fucking sink. Next thing you know, he turns the sink on.
Where's the water?
Drip. Drip. He just goes back. Go. Huh, that was working this morning. I'm like, and he just had to be like, hey man, we got to shut you down. So that was one of the first times that was super rough. Definitely on like, it's embarrassing. You know what I mean? Like, we don't get shut down by the health department, bro. Like, that's the first thing people think is, oh, it's a nasty restaurant. Yeah, you know, it's a gross dirty food kitchen. Truck. Yeah, dirty kitchen. Yeah, that's the first thing they took with. So, you know, of course, I kept that on the DL. I put on Instagram, like, hey, you know, I can tell those stories now. I don't care.
I'm going on vacation, guys.
Yeah, well, I put on Instagram, my food truck flooded. Little do they know it didn't have any water. Little do they know the shit was dry as shit, right? And then the second time, it was when it was raining a lot.
Yeah.
And the food truck was fucking leaking, bro. Leaking bad from the top. And I'm calling the business partner like, yo, bro, we need to fix this shit. Yeah, we're going to have to take the roof off. This and that. I'm like, what the fuck? Take the roof off, bro. Like, this is going to take so long. Yeah, it'll be like 2 weeks. Bro, I'm feeding my family. I'm
get the Flex Seal, man. Get the Flex Seal.
So that's what you already know, homie. I'm thinking. Yeah. I'm like, Flex Seal, duct tape, run it up. So boom, we finally get it covered. It's not leaking for 3-4 days. I'm like, fuck yeah, right? Health department shows up. And mind you, the health department kept coming because somebody kept calling them on us. Some hater. We actually found out who it was later. It was actually the tattoo guy that was next to my shit. Yeah. I thought it was somebody else.
He'd just be hating, bro. Right. He was probably getting a business.
I think he was on drugs, bro. And like, he just didn't like all my customers around his windows. He was a one chair tattoo shop, had all blacked out windows, couldn't even see. Like, anyway, dude was a weirdo. He ended up moving, thank God. But, so yeah, the health department was only supposed to come once a year.
Yeah.
Right? This was come to inspect you the first time and then come once a year on a routine. I was only open my food truck for 9 months. They came like 7 times. Damn. And so lady walks in, I'm like, fuck yeah, everything's good, no leak, this and that. Bro, she takes 3 steps and bro, I see in slow motion a fucking drop of water just go doop on the top of her head. Bro, she turns around, she goes, shut it down because you can't have a leak. So if it was leaking in like the area, no, I guess you can't have a leak at all on a food truck. So yeah, I don't know. It's weird. So wherever food's being prepared, you can't have a leak. Right. Yeah, you know what I mean? But I'm sitting there going, my restaurant used to work out like a hella leaks, but it was just in the dining area, which I don't know how that's... Anyway, maybe the health department didn't show up on those days.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was the second time. Great time. I mean, when we got on Entrepreneur Magazine, that was incredible. We got named like number one food truck on there. And it's like, those kind of things, like the good things makes all the bad things like you forget about them.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like, cause dude, that food truck, bro, that was one of the hardest times of my entire life. Like mentally, bro, like just trying to keep pushing, trying to just put a smile on when shit is fucked up, you know, or I had the worst morning ever.
Yeah.
You know, or like, the generator, bro. I go to pull the generator, like the string on the generator, the whole fucking string flies out.
Nah.
I'm like, nah, dog. What
kind of cartoon ass problems are these, bro?
It was just one thing after another. Or one night we're emptying the fucking gray water, the dirty ass water that all the, so it's a big tank on the bottom that when you're washing your hands, you're washing things. Dog, my employee's emptying it, bro. And the fucking whole bucket or the whole tube just falls out, bro. This dude's ankle deep in fucking lobster water, bro. And luckily he loved the business, bro. So he's like, man, Jack, man, just hand me a fucking screwdriver. I'm gonna put it back on. I'm like, ugh. I'm like, bro, what the fuck? And honestly, truthfully, I gotta, you know, I mean, went viral with Hooked LV.
Yep.
That was fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Booming at that time.
It was cracking, bro. We had to switch our whole entire model, bro. Like, we used to cook everything, like every piece of rice we cook fresh. Every piece of noodle we cook fresh. You know, then we just, now we just cook it in batches because, you know, fuck, bro. Like, people were waiting 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, that day that it happened wasn't fun.
Yeah.
I'm fucking, so the building that we're in now, we were leasing that building. Uh-huh. We weren't allowed to be, but we were leasing that building from the landlord. And so we were able to use the fridges and stuff, and the other guy didn't care. So at the time I had to go back to my house and get a grill just to bring it there to fucking cook fried rice in that fucking, in that it was a Subway just to like, you know, just so we can get these orders out faster. And my girl was taking orders and she's like, babe, we're like a 2.5 hour wait or 2 hour wait. I was like, okay, cool. Tell the customers they'll leave. Fat line, by the way, like quarter mile long line. She goes, they didn't leave. I'm like, fucking tell them 3 hours.
They didn't leave.
She's like, they're still standing here. I'm like, what the fuck, dog? We got to stack it. Bro, we got to stack. This was before Keith Lee.
Yeah.
Right? This is before Keith Lee. We got to stack it. Tickets like this fat. It's fucking 6:30 at night. We close at 9. I go out there. I'm like, no more orders. We're not taking any more orders for the night. And like, people are still kind of like, I'm like, I'm serious. No more orders. And they finally ended up leaving. So, you know, after that, that's when business went from, you know, we were steady, cool. You know, I had a good support system. We're the low key spot. Mm-hmm. And then, bro, it just put us on the map.
Yeah, that's dope. That's dope.
So those are just a few of like the hundreds of.
For sure. And I think those are the things that people can appreciate, right? Especially the people that might not have known about those stories, just like you said, right?
It's trauma, dog. Nah, I'm just trauma. You got me over here about the tear up.
Those are like battle stories, bro. Like
literally, bro. Like I look at it as a boxing ring, bro. Every day I wake up, I'm like, how hard am I gonna get hit, right? Or what angle am I gonna get hit? But all I know is I'm getting back up.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like Rocky.
Literally,
Rocky.
I was getting rocked every day.
Same defense as Rocky.
I was getting rocked every day.
Hands down. You're just like, fuck, I'm going
to
take it.
Bro, I literally, because I just knew, bro. I just knew. Like, it was to the point where, and it sounds fucked up, but like, I just knew something bad was going to happen today. Like, what's next? Right? But I was just ready for it, you know?
It's just like a part of the process, right? You're like, every day, something's going to go wrong every day.
And truthfully, like, you know, you have to go through those kind of things. But there's other ways that, like, if somebody came to me and asked me, hey, how should I do this? I'd be like, yo, go get a fucking brand new food truck. Don't try to get the little janky homie that calls you on a random fucking number that goes, hey, I got a food truck, man. You want to rent it? I didn't have money, bro, at the time. Yeah. I had a couple, you know, I had $20,000 saved for, you know, from saving tips. And but that was like 3 years worth of fucking work.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm telling the guy, yeah, I don't got no money. Luckily, the pandemic happened right after. So I used that for that. But the point I'm trying to get at is I didn't know. I didn't even know I could go buy a food truck. I didn't even know any of this. Right. I learned this as I went. But so this is like you were saying, like if somebody's come to me and was like, hey, how should I do it? You know, I would give them all the steps not to fall on their face.
Yeah.
And just let them go do their thing.
And what are your goals like going forward? I guess short term and long term. What are your goals with your business specifically?
I mean, I truthfully want my Hibachi brand to be like a household name. Mm-hmm. Right. Like Benihana's or McDonald's or, you know, like that's what I like, how I want to be. Right. Long term goal. Short term right now is just get a couple more locations going in some nicer areas. You know, like I like the area I'm in, but you know, we would do really good, I think, in Summerlin or Henderson. And you know, that's definitely by the end of the year. I want to I want to hit 100,000 followers on Instagram, so that's another.
We got like 60?
I'm like 40? 63, yeah. 63. And I've been there for a little while. Like, it's like been plateaued.
It comes in batches.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there'll be periods where you're just booming, and then it just slows down. You're like, man.
I've been going up. I mean, when Hooked blew us up, I mean, we'd hit like, so I started, I was at 12,000. I hit like 35,000 like in like 6 months, bro. It was crazy.
And then you get Keith Lee
there. I'm, hey, where you at, dog?
He watches our podcast. No,
there you go. Yeah, right. Keith, where you at, me, bro? Mr. Lee. but yeah, I want to hit 100,000 followers by the end of the year. That's one of my short-term goals for sure. It just feel cool.
Yeah.
You know?
It'd be crazy.
I like it. It'd be wild.
What's on your mind to get there? Like, what are the things that you want to focus on? Obviously, besides getting to different locations.
Can't say my secrets, dog. Yeah. I got my little secret sauce.
Anything you can share.
Just making more content, right? Just like what Juliana was saying, you know, make more content, reach out for advice, you know, don't think I know everything. Hmm. Even though, you know, people see where I'm at, they see what I've accomplished so far. You know, the reason I have got to where I've gotten is because I shut the fuck up and listen, right. And especially with people that have things that I don't, mm-hmm. right? I actually learned that the hard way, kind of the hard way, but I got trained by this Thai chef, and every time he'd always say, hey, put the garlic butter on that. And I said, Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. He took me out in the back and fucking yelled at me, bro. I said, if you fucking know, then why the fuck am I training you? And I got in my face and grilled me. And I think I was like, 16 or 17. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And right there was just like, you know what? I don't know everything. And that's another thing too, right? Like maybe I was a shithead kid because I thought I knew everything.
Yeah.
And then when I finally switched that and started to realize like, I don't know shit. Let me just learn. Be quiet and learn from other people. That's when I think it really took off. And so definitely, like I said, this year I'm going to learn a lot and listen to people that are where I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, what I would say. Content and not think that you know everything, you know?
Well, we were chopping up. You said you want to do one podcast at least a month this year. And
yeah.
And you had your networking event. So we could already see like the steps are there. Right. So,
yeah, I just want to get out there more. Yeah.
And just talking to you, like we can tell like you're super like always open to learn from anyone. Like you're not really this like stuck up person. Like, you know, a lot of people, they have businesses and like, you know, they feel like they're the shit. Like you're always, no matter who it is, you're willing to learn from people and have a conversation.
Yeah. No, I truthfully, man, you know, cause you guys might know something I don't, vice versa. You just never know what type of people you're going to meet. Yeah. I was just telling somebody this earlier. I truly think that if you just have good integrity, you always do the right thing especially when it's, you know, nobody's looking, or you just treat people with respect and you treat people how you want to be treated. I truly believe that that's the ultimate success.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I would hate to walk out every day and fucking know that a million people fucking hate me because I'm this and nooty woo. Like, nah, man, let's chop it up.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Absolutely. Let's kick it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. and family wise, right? You talked about your girl helping you out with the content side, but you recently had a daughter, right? Mm-hmm. She's, how old is she now?
10 months.
10 months, right? She's almost getting to a year.
That's crazy.
How has that changed your life?
That's changed my life a lot, right? In many ways than I didn't think, right? Like I'm definitely now more loving, right? I'm more compassionate. I have to also be more strategical with the moves I make. I have to think twice. I have to think about other people now, right? Like not that I never thought about my girl before, but you know, she was always just like, yeah, babe, you know, I trust you.
It's a different level.
Yeah, right? Babe, I trust you. You know, like you do the right thing. Now it's like, actually, hold on. Is it, let's think about this, you know? So I think more about it, but now and then, I'm actually was just like I said earlier, we're watching that Griselda thing, and like there's a scene where a kid gets, you know, in line of crossfire, and I wouldn't even think twice. Yeah, it's sad, whatever. I wouldn't even think twice about it, but now it's the part where I'm like, oh my god, like I couldn't imagine, you know, or the guy that was on your guys' last podcast that talked about or his son. Yeah. I'm like, oh. Before I would be sympathized and you know, that sucks. But now it's like,
you don't really understand
it. I feel it, bro. I'm like, dude, I don't know what I would do without her. You know what I mean? She's the sweetest girl. She's so cute. She's got such a crazy personality already. You know, she's just ready to take over the world. I always say she's 10 months going on 10. Yeah. You know, she's already ready to walk. And so, yeah, she definitely is another one of my reasons why I go even harder.
Yeah, because a lot of people think like, or a lot of people say in business specifically, you kind of get to a level where you plateau, right? And then you have kids and it makes you go even harder.
Yeah.
It gives you like that extra incentive to like go hard. Is that something that you experienced?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like now it's, before I could maybe, you know, take things from people or maybe slack off a little bit. Now it's like, nah, it's grind time. It's no joke. Like this is even more serious. I always took it serious, but you know, I'm having fun with it.
Right.
Now it's to the point where yes, I'm still having fun, but like, no, if there's something that I don't like or something that I see, I'm not gonna think twice about it. I'm just gonna, you know, whatever's in my gut, what I know is right. In any type of situation, like, no, this is my family we're talking about now. For sure. Before, when it was just me, you know, it's like, you know, whatever. I still was like that, but you know, I'm a little more lenient now. Ain't no time, ain't no play time.
Yeah,
be serious
for sure.
You know,
anything else you want to share with the people?
Man, I mean, you know, get with these guys; they're great. You know, if you want to, you know, put your business out there, these guys are doing amazing things. Great questions. I just, you know, I'm going to be doing some more philanthropy this year, giving back. I feel like I'm in a position.
One thing we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
Your brands. So you have the 4 a.m. Workout Club and Rich Off Food. So.
4 a.m. Club, Rich Off Food are my brands that I've released this year. They're just, you know, I truly won't like to do things that I'm passionate about, right? Like where I like working out. And so when it comes to 4 a.m. Club, like it sounds crazy to wake up. And I don't work out at 4 a.m. every day. Sometimes I wake up at 4 a.m. and I just work on the computer or something like that. But this is a personal development brand. It was all about taking your life to the next level. And to you guys, taking your life to the next level might mean something completely different.
Right. Yeah.
This is what it meant to me. And so this year I also said that I'm not going to wear anything besides my own brand. Like if it's not my brand, I'm not wearing it, you know? And then the Rich Off Food came literally, bro. Me and my buddy made this on the way to my networking event.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there talking about it. We're sitting there going, like, we need something to give away. We need some hats. And so he came to me with Foodie and I was like, bro, no, dog, we're not. Hell no, bro. And then I was like, how about Yes Chef? And he literally did the same thing. He goes, bro, that's horrible.
Yes, Daddy.
Yeah, he said that. He did say that. I'm like, he's not a cook. He doesn't know anything about food. Right. And I'm like, bro, it's a term, all right? And then I said like herd, right? Like, have you guys ever heard that term? Yeah. In the restaurant, if I say something to you, it's like herd, just to make sure that we all know we're on the same page. And he just called me. He's like, how about Rich Off Food? And I was like, that's banger. Fucking hard, bro. Hard. I was like, and I'm over there like, bro, ain't no way we're this smart and thought of something nobody else thought of. And so he did all his research. He's like, nah, man. And so, you know, it's truthfully what it is, right? Like, who knows, you know, maybe one thing that I like about the business that I have and not the business that I have, but the business that I've created is that, you know, it's opened so many different doors. Like, you know, I was telling you, I go to those networking events. Yeah. And when I go to those, I'm the only restaurant owner. Mm-hmm. I'm the only restaurant owner. These guys are like tech companies and security companies and Fortune 500 companies and all these, like, I'm like, and they think what I do is cool. Yeah, I'm like, they're making like five, 6 million a year, right? And they're like, you own a restaurant? And so, you know, who knows? Maybe I think Kabachi House, my brand, will be multi-billionaire status, right? That's obviously what I think, but you never know, right? And so, but one thing I can say is that this is the start. Like if say I go into something else, it all started with food. So I got Rich Off Food. You know, because if I never started this, I would have never started any type of business and I would have never opened any doors to be able to do anything else. So and that's Rich Off Food for me.
Yeah, that's what people don't see too. Like I always talk about it the same way. Like you might have an idea, right? That's $1 million idea, but it takes $1 million worth of money to make it work. So you got to start a smaller idea to even get there and then you can level up.
Yeah, this might not be what takes me there.
Exactly. Yep. But like a lot of people are too scared because they're like, oh, I don't have the capital for that. I don't have the money for that. I can't take that risk. I can't do this. I can't do that. It's like, start small. Start with something you know you can scale up. Mm-hmm. Level up to something bigger. Even if it takes you 10 businesses to get there, as long as you get there, right? That's the most important thing. Yeah. So that's how I see the podcast as well.
Yeah.
It's like we're building a brand for ourselves. We're building a marketing machine. We're building this thing that gives us opportunities to talk to people like you, right? Yeah. Like if we didn't have this, right, we probably wouldn't be sitting here having a conversation. We might go eat at your restaurant, chop it up a bit. We might become buddies, right? But it'll be a whole different conversation. So I think that's good advice for everybody out there who's on the fence about starting a business or starting a project. It's like you never know. You know, this might not be the end goal, but it'll put you in a better position.
Hey, we might turn this camera off, and he goes, "Yeah, you know, I had $120,000 I wanted to invest in a restaurant. Next thing you know, his location is the one that blows."
Exactly.
You just never know, right? And that's another thing, right? Like that, I like getting out there. You know, I talk to my customers. I talk to you. You just never know what another person does, what they're thinking, what like. There's been times where. If a guy came to a restaurant, he might have wanted to invest, right? And but I wasn't there, so he never got the opportunity. Or one time I am there, and the guy's like, "Hey, I've always wanted to invest in a restaurant. well, thank God I was here.
Right, exactly.
You know?
It's like, but if you never had that, I always say it's like, it's a combination of being in the right place, but also have like being prepared for the opportunity. Because you could be in the right place. Like somebody could be giving out $1 million, but if you didn't spend the last 12 years of your life fucking grinding, you'll be like, yeah, sorry, buddy. We're going to go with somebody else, right?
Yeah.
So,
no, and yeah. I want to touch on that as well, because now that I'm, you know, I'm going to more events and I'm doing this kind of stuff, it's like, I'm like, man, why didn't I do this 3 years ago? I wasn't ready for it 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I would have been here like talking to people, you know? It's a totally different ballgame now. My vision or my the way I think is completely different. The way I speak is completely different. And so now it's like, no, Zach, like, you know, you could sit there and dwell on yourself of why you didn't do this, why you didn't do that. You know, God doesn't put you in places for no reason.
Exactly.
You know, he puts you there when you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's cool, like all the opportunities you're talking about, like even the opportunity with your buddy coming to you with the food truck, right? If he didn't know you for being able to cook or gather a crowd or being good at talking to people, you wouldn't have been offered that. And it's just funny, like we sometimes find ourselves in the same positions, and I'm like, am I even supposed to be here right now? But it's like, but he's grinding, like the blessings will come. The blessings will come.
Yeah. So. Yep. You just put in the work, man. You wake up and you truly just do what you truly believe you're on this earth to do every day. And I truly think that everything will come to you.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. Go ahead and let them know all your tags, all your links to social on social.
There's a lot of them. You ready? Yeah. My wife every day goes, are you starting another Instagram? Jesus, how many do you have? So now I get to a point where I can't make any more Instagrams on
Mark Zuckerberg knows you personally.
Yeah, he's like, hey dog, slow it down, homie.
Yeah.
Like, no, I have so what I'll do is if I come up with an idea for a business, I'll make the Instagram.
Yeah.
Right. And even if I don't do anything with it, it's just on there. So when I'm scrolling through Instagrams, I see, you know, I'm like, okay, cool. I know I got to get to that or I got to get to that. So, but then when other opportunities out now, I don't make new Instagrams. I just change the other ideas that I had before. Yeah. That's why like this one, I already had like 12 followers, the Rich All Food.
I wanted to ask you
before
we sign off.
You're good.
Hospitality.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you know the dude, what's his name? David Grubman.
It's my idol.
Yeah. So would you ever want to do something like that where you just like, you obviously build your brand with your own restaurant. You learn the game, you learn the business, you learn like the business model. And then you're like, okay, I want to open this kind of restaurant here and that kind of restaurant there and this kind of restaurant there.
Yeah, guys like David Grubman, you know, Todd English, Noah Tepperberg from Tao Group. I mean, those guys right there are doing it, right? Yeah. They don't just know food. They know atmosphere. Everything. They know vibes. They know, like you said, hospitality. They know customer service. And I've worked in a my restaurant that I was in, you know, it didn't have the best vibe, but it was a full restaurant. Like it was a full, you know, waiter, server, you know, busser, right. You know, all the stuff. And so that's definitely my dream one day for sure. I would love to not only, I've messaged David a few times, you know, we're waiting for the response. He just hasn't seen me yet. That's all it is, you know? But I would love to do something like that, you know, build my brand to be that big or even start other brands. You know, I have other food concepts I want to do. But you know, so when I first started my food truck, my idea was that I want this to be the place to be on a Friday night. Mm-hmm. And that's literally what I turned it into. Right. And what was it? Right. Was it the food? Yeah. Was it the vibe? Yeah. Was it me? Yeah. Or was it everything?
Right.
Right.
Whole conglomerate.
Exactly. Together. So, you know, when people are pulling up in their low riders on a Friday night and they're bumping music and everybody, you know, everybody's out there smoking and having fun, bringing their girls to this dope new food truck. Mm-hmm. Like, I built that. And so, yeah, one day I want to have a restaurant that's the same, like that level as those guys.
Yeah. Better have a table for us.
I got you. Yeah. Don't worry. I'll be on the list.
Yes, sir. All right.
My personal page is realvanillarice_. My restaurant is Hibachi House LV. You'll see on there is Vanilla Rice's Hibachi House. Rich_Off_food. This is actually 4 a.m. wake up club. I changed it. It was workout club until I started realizing that not everybody works out, right? So let's make it a little more universal. And then, yeah, that's it. So, yeah, what did I say? Real Vanilla Rice, Hibachi House, Rich_Off_food, and 4 a.m. Wake Up Club.
For sure.
And On the Run Podcast.
On the Run Podcast. On the Run
Podcast. I love it.
Yeah. And you guys can follow my personal page at Ocho Benji.
Follow my Instagram. It's going to be AKABTG. Follow the podcast, On the Run.pod. YouTube, On the Run Podcast. Facebook page, On the Run Podcast. Make sure you guys are showing us love. You guys have been killing it, supporting all the latest reels, all the latest episodes. I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, I don't know if we got it on camera, but January 2024 was our second biggest month ever. Mm. So I'm super grateful to you guys supporting us. It's been our 1 year anniversary, so we're a year deep in this, and we're only getting better. So we're gonna keep bringing better interviews. Keep killing it with the guests, keep killing it with the content, and we'll hope to see you guys here every single episode. If you like the episode, go ahead and leave a like, comment, subscribe. We'll see you guys next week for another episode, man. Peace.